Fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, tis the season to be jolly. Isn't that what they say? Ho, 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 tis the season to be jolly. And I have to confess to you, I'm a little bit jolly today in a not jolly kind of way. I'm kind of overwhelmingly grateful this morning. Maybe that would be a phrase that would describe what I'm feeling today as I come in here and join in here with you guys. Got Gary Dunlap and Woody stopped here. They spent the night here last night on their travels back to Syracuse, New York. And I hear the toilet flushing up in the top of my multi-million-dollar studio. So they're probably getting up here this morning. And it was great having fellowship with them. And I was reminded again last night, just talking to those guys, how badly the church is missing the fact that men need to plug into something. Men need to plug in. I just know that the number of people, those of us who were down in Kentucky, how all of us went home with full hearts for what we had done and the fellowship that we'd had and being together, and how we have made Christianity so unexciting and so dull and so routine and so boorish. Why would anybody want to be one of us? Why would anybody want to give up beer drinking and going to bars and chasing women and shooting pool? Why would anybody want to give up that exciting life to do that stupid Christian life? And listen, you understand that? That's what the world looks and sees. What's that old saying? This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. There's a real, real truth in that. But we don't, as Christians, we don't do a good job of spreading that. We just don't understand. We don't understand. And the emails that I got this morning and the text messages from Clay and from, oh my goodness, the people who were down there just for that short 72, 80 hours, whatever we were together down there. Bobby Lee, the great work Bobby Lee down there. You leave with a full heart. And then you come home and then you're almost depressed because your heart was so full. And now you're back just to the main lamestream being a Christian. Daily, where we live our daily lives. But it doesn't have to be like that, does it? Doesn't have to be. We need to focus, change our approach, change our focus. Find where we can plug in. What it means to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Okay, I did this. Now what can I do? What's the next thing I can do? There has to be something I can do. Let's see. Disaster relief is fun to do because it's productive and you really can see the difference you're making in the lives of others, and the fellowship is rich, and you're working together towards a goal. It's really, really good. It's really, really good. But then you go home, and you don't find anything like it anywhere. Well, you could say you have a men's breakfast at your church. Really? Really? You have a men's breakfast at your church and fake like you know those guys. You don't even know anything about them, don't know anything at all about what they're struggling with. There's no intimacy. And you can't have intimacy in large groups. It just doesn't work that way. And men don't know how to be intimate to begin with, especially with other men, which is why I love the group that's here, because I can tell Mark Trump something that's really ticking me off and he gets it. And I can tell Mark Trump something I did wrong, and not just Mark Trump. I could tell Bob Evans. I could tell, oh my goodness, I could tell Dale Socia. I could run down the list of 50 guys I could tell, and they wouldn't get mad and say, yeah, Coach, you big a-hole, you do, you know. They'd say, hey, keep plugging along, man. We all need that encouragement. You don't get that encouragement anywhere. That's why I have been so trained for this job. All those years that I spent in a locker room, binding the hearts of men together. You understand that's what a coach did, right? That's what I did as a football coach. I remember one time I had somebody, I don't know if Coach Norm's listening today. I remember one time when we were really, really good in London, some of the people accused us of being a cult. And what they meant by being a cult, the coaching staff, we were so tight. We fellowshiped together after the game. We got together, we ate pizza and partied together. We were boom. And the world can't understand that. That's what the church is supposed to be. You want to find out how screwed up we are? You Methodists, invite the men from the Baptist church, or worse yet, invite the men from the local Pentecostal church for a breakfast and see how many come. We won't even fellowship one with another across denominational lines. You know I'm telling you the truth, Willis. The outside world's looking at us thinking, what the hell's going on with, what is that thing? I don't want to be part of that mess. That's what we're struggling against. Nothing wrong with Christianity. Something wrong with those of us who are practicing it. It's like doctors, we're practicing Christianity, trying to walk out our faith, trying to live out our faith. And can somebody else bear witness to this? You go to your local church and pastor knows that he's got to do something with the men. So he tries to come up with something for the men to do together. And it's meaningless, just stupid stuff. What if we got men's groups together and taught them to be warriors? What if we took them out and showed them how to shoot a deer and slice that sucker open and watch the blood drain out of him? Get your hands in there and pull those guts out of that heart still beating. Wonder how many men have done that in their youth, in their church groups. No, it's all make-believe fake Christianity. Not that the men are fake Christians, but the stuff around it's fake Christianity. We did real Christianity when we were in Kentucky. We didn't fake it. We didn't go down there to do fake Christianity. It just happened. And that's what we're missing. That's what the American church is missing. We don't bleed together. We don't sweat together. We don't cry together. We don't do anything together. We give money to the pastor, and then the pastor builds the church. And then we come in and we go there every Sunday, and then we show off our church. And then we have events at our church, and we call it the family center, and we call it the community center. It ain't no community, and it ain't no family. Who are we lying to? It's all fake. It's all false. Some of you get mad at me. I don't care, because I'm telling you the damn truth. Why would you want to be part of? Why would you ever want to be part of what we see going on in American churches? I'm not criticizing pastors. I am in a sort of, hey, dudes, the game is outside the building. It's outside the building. It's not in the building. We still don't have that one figured out. My emails lighting up yesterday from people wanting to help with oxygen machines and medical systems. And why? Because we have all this skill set and there's no place to plug it in. So you mean, Coach, you mean you got a ministry going where a guy like me who just turns wrenches, you can use me? Yeah, we can use you. You know how to turn a wrench? Yeah, you know how to do a chainsaw? Yeah, we know how to do that. Yeah, we know how to do all that stuff. We don't just get together and go to the Cleveland Browns football game on Sunday as part of our men's ministry. See, we don't know what to do with our faith. The Constitution guarantees us free exercise of that faith. Well, hell, we don't exercise it. No wonder they take it away. We don't even know what it means. Share the gospel, brother. Get people saved, brother. Really? So get them saved, and then what the hell do you do with them?
Amen.
Let them go to men's breakfast on Saturday morning? What? And so some of you women, listen, I'm riding this horse. Hang on. Some of you women out there, that sounds awful. Some of you wives out there are trying to pull your husband along. He don't want to come. He don't want to go do Coach Dave's stuff. Why? Because he's been in church so long, he doesn't want to do that crap. He'll go Sunday and he'll play along. He'll play the game on Sunday. The whole time he's in church on Sunday, he wants to go home and watch the Bengals. He wants to go hunting. He wants to go golfing. He wants to do something. And we don't show them how to do it. So I see you guys want to get in here, but let me finish this. Let me bring this horse around the bend there real quick. This is because it's really, really, we don't even, I'm sitting under, you know, Fred Mosley, Pastor Fred Mosley. I've had several people tell me, particularly, I'm sorry, this is personal. It's not about you. This is about me. But let me get this off my chest. Pastor Fred Mosley said, Coach, I don't know if you know this or not, but you're sitting under an open heaven. There's an open heaven over you. And I said, what do you mean by that? He said, well, listen, he said, just the heavens, it may not be open forever, but it's open over you now. And meaning what? Lord's raining down stuff on us. And I went yesterday, and Spencer, I got to see my new granddaughter yesterday. Got in last night. There I am with little Scarlet. And I'm thinking that Scarlet is 3 days old, and she's already going to be a big cousin to one that's going to come maybe tomorrow, maybe the next day. We go back to Declan, and you guys know what went on with Declan in the 47 days that he spent in hospital. Pull up Maggie's Facebook page. Just let me get this off my. I'm trying to take us somewhere today, okay? My daughter Maggie posted this on her own Facebook page today. Can you make that a little bit bigger that I could read this? I don't think Maggie would mind if I read this to all of you. This is the open heaven I'm talking. Why don't we love our children? Why aren't our children having children? I have friends that I don't even want to talk about my grandkids around because I know their heartaches because they don't have any. What have we done in our culture that we don't honor having children anymore? I'm going somewhere. Stay with me. Can you make it just a little bit bigger there? Maggie wrote this. This is our baby. This is our bad. This is Declan, who was in the hospital 47 days right after he was born. Maggie says, today we walked out of our last scheduled appointment, Nationwide Children's Hospital. I cannot explain the feeling of release I experienced as we went down the elevator to the parking garage for the final time as I realized we did it. This is for Betty. This is for Debbie. This is for all of you out there, guys, who faithfully prayed for my daughter and little Declan. Months ago, we had no idea what the future was going to hold for us, but I can now enthusiastically say Declan is doing amazing. He's off of all of his medicines. He's eating as much as he wants. He's growing and developing and smiling all the time, fearfully and wonderfully made. No more follow-up appointments, no blood tests, no weight checks or chiropractic adjustments. My heart sing, great is thy faithfulness. A little louder today, as I further experience the Lord has truly carried us through this season. Look at that little guy, always grinning. That's Maggie, our baby, always grinning, that little guy. And so my heart's full of that today. And there's a little, look at this little scar in his stomach. Can you believe that they cut that little guy open? They cut him open at a day and a half. Can you point at that, Spencer? They cut him open. He wasn't even a day old. They went in there and fixed his little belly. He's grinning about it. Looks like Santa Claus, right? Fearfully and wonderfully made. And we get through that one, and all of a sudden, Zach's new baby pops in, and Adrian, his wife, you can pray for Adrian. She's having some complications, some post-birth complications. Platelets. There's little Scarlet Rose. I wasn't able to hold her last night. 5 pounds. She's the size of a bag of flour. Bag of flour. There she is. There's a picture I showed you earlier of Grampy holding her. And we're missing the whole thing. We're missing the whole thing, this whole battle, this everything that we're in the middle of right now. Folks, it's about these guys. It's not about us. It's about these little monkeys that are coming along. That's what I call my grandkids. They're little monkeys. It's about these little monkeys that are coming behind us. What kind of country are we leaving to them? What kind of spiritual heritage are we leaving to these guys? This is what it's about. It's not about Cleveland Browns game and golf games and cookouts. It's not about any of that. That's not what Christianity is about. Christianity is about taking the values that I have and somehow passing them to my son, who puts them into that little girl right there. And then she passes it on to her. She's going to have children someday. Yeah, rapture folk, I'm telling you, that little girl's going to have children someday. And it's all going to be what? A spiritual heritage and bloodline, if you will, that we've been passed down. And what does the devil want to do? He wants to destroy that. He wants to teach that little girl right there to be a transsexual. He wants to teach her that she can be a man. That's what the devil wants to do. And the church is openly permitting this kind of stuff to go on. And we can't figure out why you can't get men to come to men's meetings. Because we've lost the vision of what this whole thing is about. I got some stuff I want to go to today. I've been rambling here for quite a minute. I'm sitting under an open heaven. I'll say this. I said to the people in the queue before we started. Thank you. God bless all of you who sent money for the hurricane, tornado relief down in Mayfield. It's unbelievable. But you're going to hear something from a guy you've never heard before. Don't send any more money. I already have more funds to distribute than I know to distribute them right now. God bless all of you. I thank all of you. If you want to continue to send money to finance Pass the Salt Ministry and the things that we're doing, then that's fine. We have a lot of things on our table. But I want you to know that if you're sending money to us to give to the people in Mayfield, I now have more money than I know where to give it, okay? So if you want to give it, we don't want to receive your money and spend it on something else. So I'm just being as open and as honest as you can. We're looking for churches down there that we can distribute it to. That place was rocked. So I want you to hear me. If you want to support our work, praise the Lord, please continue to support our work. But if you want to send money specifically for Maysville, don't do it. Don't send us any more money for Maysville because I don't know where to distribute it at this point, just being honest. Now, I could set it aside and have a benevolence fund. We could do that. I'm willing to do that. But I told you this money was for the people in Mayfield, and I want to be a man of my word on that. So just trying to give you an upfront of what's going on with that. Okay, listen. Can I do that? Can I do this? Lord, help me. If I open it up, I may never get back here, but I'll open it up. Go ahead, Jeff, quickly, then Paul.
Coach, real quick, you're talking about that. Tuesday night we had 26 men and women in that garage, 26. Mm-hmm. And Pastor Bill's declared war on Satan. So he went into that realm of the churches have dropped the ball. Satan is destroying us. I mean, just he hammered it. And he's still having some, you know, issues going. Pastor Matt come in from Bladensburg that we've been hanging out with. He brought his guitar and sang some battle songs. I mean, he got up there and just to kind of uplift Pastor Bill. You know what I mean? It was a great start to the night. He brought a couple of guys. Mike Blake even come up. We had people, probably three-fourths of them were men. And so Pastor Bill went through the whole thing. He said, why you waste your time 2 hours a week going to church? You're not doing it. You know what I mean? And he went through all this just fiery message. There's a girl sitting in there. Larry Bauer here in town is in KCH with COVID. They've injected him 5 days in a row with remdesivir. Nobody can get anything done up there. It's been crazy. Same Dr. Ricky had. The daughter's sitting there with the son. The son helps me clean some cars. I said, you get your sister down here. Now, she's had a horrible life. I mean horrible. Horrible. I won't even go into all the details, but she sat there the other night. And the day before her dad went in the hospital, on Christmas Day, the day before, she told her dad, this is how the kids think now. I wish you were dead. Mm. Now she's sitting there Tuesday night, where 3 years ago, I told her, get off my property at the car lot. You come back here, I will have you arrested. She was scared to come in there. She came in, was broken. I mean broken.
They're broken everywhere. That's what those tornadoes are. They're an outward sign of what's going
everybody
on.
Everybody loved it because it was real. You know what I mean?
That's what I'm saying. Amen. I always salute your evangelism, Jeff. You guys are getting it. Dr. Paul, come on in.
Morning.
Morning.
Yeah, so I did a kind of a dive into the old oxygen thing. We could talk about that later. I am moving forward with Gabriel's Health Ministry, which is a private medical organization or something, PMA association. And basically, I'm a health coach now.
Good.
I will tell you something. I get a lot of emails, and this whole idea of trying to get folks out of the hospital is working out pretty well. I get calls from all over the country because by the time they do those protocols on you, they're sending you in the other direction.
Yeah.
They send you home to die when you refuse it. Or if you, yeah, honestly. And that works out very well because, you know, they get oxygen and they can get, we can take care of them at home. But once you get on that remdesivir and they hit you with Versed and knock you out, you have no control and no advocacy unless the people who love their, like I had a 51-year-old yesterday. He was told to go to the hospital because he wasn't feeling well. Well, his saturations were low and they admitted him. And she was upset, and she has four kids, the wife of this man. I says, just like you, coach, I said, tell that son of a bitch to man up and get the fuck home. Excuse my language, because he's going to get killed there. You know, and it's just, it breaks my heart. He's got four kids at home. We can take care of them at home. And it's like, they just give their...
Paul, isn't that what the church is supposed to do, brother? Why is it our first response is to run to the hospital rather than to the church? That's how much we're missing it, folks.
Well, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I kept saying, I mean, are you praying? And you know, I didn't get a lot of response from him. If you have four kids and your husband's in there, where's your advocacy? And I told him, you take your phone and call him. And if he's not calling him, you walk in there and you demand he gets his phone and you turn your phone on so you know everything that's going on in that hospital. I've never seen anything like it. I swear. I swear they're trying to kill people. And maybe I'm wrong on this.
But. No. Okay, no, you're not. You're right down there. I want to do two things here, Paul. Folks, sit down because I'm going to show you something here. The Lord is showing us something in the midst. He's after... First of all we have to do, if we were to chart this out, if I had the wherewithal to chart it out, do a time graph of the assault on the family back in the 1960s in particular has brought us to where we are. Most of us, can I tell you the truth? Most of us who have families don't even have families. We don't even get along in our families. Somebody say amen. Your kids think you're crazy.
Amen.
What has happened to us? Because it's been an assault on this. It's been the assault of the devil to do everything he can to make sure the values in me, which is on your screen right now, somehow doesn't get into little Scarlet Rose. That's been the devil's initiative from the whole time to prevent what's in me to getting into my heritage, into my children. That's what he is trying to do. Because if he can destroy the transfer from me to Zach, to Scarlet, the devil has won. And if we look around, we have to admit, he's way ahead in this game, isn't it? As we play patty cake and we play church and somebody gets sick in the church and the first thing the church says is go to the hospital rather than call the doctor that's in the church, call the doctor who's already part of our group, call him. Oh, no, I can't call him. Why can't you call him? Why, I have to make an appointment? We're so screwed up.
Amen.
But there's a great reformation coming. In fact, that's the only way I can say it. So let me bear with me again this morning. I got to get, this is all over me this morning. Go to Psalm 2. We've read this. I'm going to show you a video here that you're going to sit back for about seven minutes. It's worth every second of it to watch, okay? Why do the heathen rage? Let's ask ourselves some questions here as we read this, okay? Why do the heathen rage? Who are the heathen? If we would identify characters, goes back to my, for those of you who don't know, I'm an English minor. That's a noun. Who are the heathen? That is the subject of the sentence. Who are the heathen? We have to identify who they are. And what does it mean to rage? What would it look like if the heathen are raging? Would anybody agree with me that the heathen are raging? There are heathen and they're raging. Would anybody want to disagree with that? And then it says, and the people imagine a vain thing, a thing that's not true. What, the heathen are raging and people are believing it. Why the heathen? Why are the heathen raging? And why do people believe in it? Well, he says it's simple. Because the kings of this earth have taken over the schools, and they've taken over the media, and they've taken over the church, and they've taken over the government. They've set themselves. All these guys in all these places, they've set themselves, and now they're taking counsel together of how they're going to beat the Lord and again and his team. How the devil's team, they're coming together, Fauci, Gates, they're coming together, and they're trying to figure out how we're going to beat this God guy. How are we going to beat this God and his... And here's what they say. They said, let's break those cords. Let's get rid of all the morality. Let's get rid of everything important. Let's get rid of all of our heritage. Let's break ourselves loose from the control of that God guy. Let's break all that away and let's cast their cords off of us so that we then can go free and do whatever the hell we want to do. Literally, whatever the hell we want to do. That's what's going on in those three verses. And he that sits in heaven, we know who he is, right? He sits in heaven and he laughs. He don't think it's funny. He laughs a scorning laugh. Oh, yeah, boys? Huh? All right. Think you're going to do that? Huh? Is that what you think you're going to do? Well, here's what it says. When the Lord's had enough of it, he's going to have them in derision. We're about to see them go into derision. We're about to see it. He's going to turn them into derision. Hey, Spencer, that'd be a great word to look up. Because somebody's right now thinking, what is derision? What is derision? Well, we ought to know what it is if he's going to have him in it. Derision is the act of laughing in contempt. Contempt manifested by laughter, scorn. An object of derision or contempt, a laughing stock. The Lord's going to make them a laughing. Do you see that, folks? Do you see that in Psalm 2? The Lord's going to make them a laughing stock. He's going to have them in derision. And then he's going to open his mouth. He's going to speak to them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. their time's coming. And I'm telling you, I think we're going to see it.
Amen.
That's what I think. I think we're going to see them in derision. It ain't just going to be we escape out of here and we win in the end. We leave this mess and we go. We leave this mess that we started and we get to go to the party and then all hell's going to break loose. I think we're going to see them in derision. Anybody think I'm crazy? I think we're going to see them in derision. We're going to see it.
Amen.
We're going to see Amen. Fauci in being scorned. We're going to see Hillary being scorned. I believe that. I pray that. We're going to see it with our own eyes. Because why? That will be the justice of the Lord for the whole world to see. And only then will the fear of the Lord return to men when they see it. Oh, my God, she got what she deserved. Huh? She got. And yet I set my king upon the Lord's. Says, I set my king upon the holy hill in Zion, and I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, you are my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I'm going to give you those folks, the Faucis. I'm going to give them to you as an inheritance. That's what it says, doesn't it? Huh? I'm going to give them to you for an inheritance. And the uttermost parts of the earth, you're going to own everything, boys and girls. You're going to own it. And you know what? You're going to break them. You are. We are. Who? We are going to break them with a rod of iron that shall dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Hang in there, boys. There's a hard fist coming down. Be wise now, therefore, all ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, S-O-N, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled by the level. Blessed are they that put their trust in him. That's me. Is that anybody else? I'm putting my trust in him. And this word says I'm blessed. And I'm going to see it. I'm going to see them in derision. We're going to see it before our very eyes right now today. We're going to see it. But hey, that's not the mindset of the church. We're not powerful enough to stand up and do it. God's not interested in that. Hey, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, he doesn't mind getting another loss in the win-loss column. Oh, he doesn't mind it. That's okay with him. Another L. Lost the kids out of another L. Lost the schools. Oh, there's another L. Lost the medical system. Oh, there's another L. He's okay. He coaches a losing team and he's perfectly happy doing that. What the hell is wrong with us? He says, I'm going to have him in derision. We're going to be spiking the football. That's the way I read it. Yeah, that's why that's not the way you're. Well, so listen, having said that, Spencer, pull up that divine image. Started at the 32 mark. Now, and you can put it at 1.5. I want you to listen to this closely, friends. Created in the image of God. And this whole thing started today, and the whole journey started today when I was looking at my fearfully and wonderfully made grandchildren, knowing Abby, our daughter, she may give birth tonight. I have an open heaven over me. There are Dobbin Myers falling out of heaven. There's going to be another one maybe today, maybe tomorrow. The due date's January 4th, but she's ready. They're ready to be. Little Declan is now going to be an older. He's going to be older than two cousins that quickly. This is how quickly this thing spreads as quickly this thing goes on. And we're sitting around and we're patty caking and we're worrying about the end times rather than doing what? Getting involved with the young ones and building up the foundation, rebuilding them, rebuilding them. Come on, come on, step in here. Rose, we need you. Scarlet Rose, get in over here. Hey, Declan, get on that. Declan. Hey, Davey, come on, Davey. Reese, get over here. Hey, come on, come on. We're going to rebuild this thing. We don't even think that way.
Amen.
Boy, this is good. Amen. This is good. We're doom and gloom. Oh, Jesus is coming. We're about out of here. I had a dear friend of mine. He told me in his early upraising, he's 30, 35 now, I think, maybe a little bit older than that. He said, Dave, listen, my mom lost me on that rapture thing. She said she used to preach that rapture thing to me all the time, that in the twinkling in an eye at the last trumpet, we're going to be out of here and we're going to be judged. He said it turned me away from the faith. It didn't turn me toward it. I'm just repeating the truth. This is a victory life we're living. This is a victory faith. Marching to victory is what we do, not defeat. The other team's going to be in derision. He said it. They will be in derision. The other side. We think we're in derision and we're going to get out of here. So I caught this video yesterday, and Spencer, maybe you can get word to Jared. Get this into the chat. I'm playing at about a 1.5 speed. She talks about, well, you're going to hear what she talks about. British accent, a little bit hard to follow. But look right there. It says, the Lord God formed man from the dust of the earth and breathed in him the breath of life. Hang on, I got to touch one more thing. One more thing before I think I do. Do I want to bring that up? Yes, go to Daniel 2 real quick. Daniel 2, verse 40. Hey, folks, if you came here to get a theological lesson, you're in the wrong place. I'm not a theologian, but I can read. Amen. And I can think. And I have the unction of the Holy Spirit who has taught me to ask questions as I read. All right? So I'm not here to upset your theology. If you're a theology, get upset. God bless you. I can read. And this relates to what you're going to watch on the video, okay? This is Daniel chapter 2. I have to confess to you, until this morning, can I tell you the truth? Until this morning, I have never read Daniel 2 with understanding, ever. I just breezed through it. See, I read Daniel 2 real fast so I could tell people I'd read it. But I didn't read it. I didn't study it. I didn't think about what it was saying to me. So I got the Daniel chapter 2, verse 40. You can raise your hand and admit, I've never read it, Coach. I've had preachers tell me about it, but I've never read it. And the fourth kingdom shall be, I'm starting in the middle, okay? And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron. For as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, the Lord has a rod of iron. As iron that breaketh all these, shall it break in pieces and bruise. A rod, what is it we have here? We have a rod of iron. And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of the potter's clay and part of iron, we have a mixture here of clay, dirt from which man was made, and iron from which is not of man. And the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of the strength of the iron. For as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay. Folks, we are seeing non-human stuff being introduced into the body of the human. We're seeing the mixing of clay and iron through graphite, graphene.
Amen.
We're seeing it right in front of us, folks. Can I tell you this? We're seeing this, and we are I'll keep going because I don't. Ms. Michelle said, don't go there. You'll start a fight. I'm just reading. That's all I'm doing. I'm reading, and I'm looking at what's going on. I don't have some pastor, some theologian telling me what this means. I'm just reading it. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. This is an alliteration. This is an analogy. He's saying, listen, there's a mixture coming, and this mixture is going to be cause it to fracture and to break. And whereas you saw iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. Do you get this picture? Do you understand technology merging with men, transhumanism? Do you see this right here? See, they couldn't explain it 6,000 years ago. They couldn't explain technology. They couldn't even explain it 100 years ago. It's happening. They're injecting it right into us. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay.
Wow. Wow.
And in these days of these kings, what kings? The ones we just read about in Psalm 2. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom. Hey, man, he's going to, I felt that. And in these days shall the King of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people. We ain't leaving! But it shall break in pieces and consume all those kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Are you guys reading this? No, I'm reading it. Are you getting what this is saying? We ain't going under, boys. We're going over. We're going through. Oh, that's enough. Oh, no. For as much as thou sowest that stone was called off of the mountain without hands, was cut off the mountain without hands, that it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold. The great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter. And the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. Oh, they'll say, well, coach, that was the Roman Empire. Blah, blah, blah. Okay. All right. So let's pull the video up. The king answered, go back a second, Spencer. And the king answered unto Daniel and said, oh yeah, buddy, let me tell you the truth here, dude. Your God is the God of gods. He's the Lord of kings. And he's a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldst reveal this secret. That's my God. My God's the God of gods. My God's the Lord of kings. Right. He ain't losing. He ain't losing. Come on. Oh, Lord. I know a lot of you want to get in here. I can't let you in here yet. I'll lose control of it. Go to that video now at 1.5 speed. And I want you to listen to what this woman, I don't know whether it was a vision. I don't get into prophetic. I'm sorry. People have prophetic vision. Whatever. But boy, when I heard this hit me. Go ahead and play it, Spencer.
I thought, well done. It's very important for us to hear.
So this message is called Divine Image Destroyed. The Holy Spirit has been speaking divine much to me image about destroyed. The forceful drive being perpetrated worldwide to introduce a purported medicine via needle into every human on the planet. I have received a number of dreams bringing revelation and understanding, and I feel led to share these things in a series of posts. He started by showing me the whole scenario from God's point of view as he watches his beautiful creation being sabotaged. The visual picture which the Holy Spirit used was a wonderfully crafted palace surrounded by a high wall. This amazing edifice was guarded day and night from intruders, and only the king and those carefully vetted attendants serving him were allowed access.
Folks, you won't understand this if you don't understand that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If you think the temple is a place that you go to on Sunday, you're going to miss this whole thing. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are fearfully and wonderfully made, and he has encased you inside this protective body to make sure that you stay pure, that pure seed. The devil has always been after the seed. That's the story that she's telling us, okay? Hey, Spencer, go ahead and slow it down because she's hard enough to understand, and I don't want him to miss it. I don't care if it takes 125. Let's try that. Go ahead.
Destructive device was smuggled into the palace using a trusted page
something
boy,
smuggled
and
into
the
palace.
Was unaware that right within the throne room the enemy had positioned one of his henchmen. We can see the same scenario in the positioning of Haman right next to King Xerxes. Oblivious to the danger, King Xerxes handed Haman his Cygnus ring and gave him permission to send out a death decree. And you can read about that in Esther 3 verse 8. The human cell nucleus is that walled palace.
The cell nucleus is the walled palace.
The human cell is created with a nucleus wall to protect the scroll of DNA within its nucleus. Just like a wall is built around a palace to protect the ruler of a nation, these very important unique documents, our books or DNA scrolls, are guarded from marauders.
Stop.
Nothing is allowed to breach them.
Stop, Spencer. The cell was created to protect the perfect DNA that God created in you. That's the whole purpose of the cell wall. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. And they got to get in somehow and breach that wall. Go ahead.
Wall, and only trusted messengers are permitted to enter or leave that hallowed place. From within the nucleus, orders are issued by the DNA and carried by the messenger RNA through the nucleus wall to the Golgi apparatus, which is a factory making proteins to build and strengthen the body. No other substance can pass through that nucleus wall except human mRNA. It is considered trustworthy to carry and deliver the messages issued. I once heard a plant virologist describe mRNA or messenger RNA like a shopping trolley. You can load whatever you want in it and it will transport it to the intended destination. Now this works well when the human body is not interfered.
So the human DNA is a grocery cart at Kroger's. And you go and all you put milk in it, you put eggs in it, you put bacon in there, and then when you get home, you take that cart and you go home, and then some goes in the freezer, some goes in the refrigerator, some goes, the DNA gets everything to its proper place. And as long as the DNA is intact, the RNA, the messenger RNA, as long as that is intact, it will get delivered to the right place. Why? Because you are fearfully and wonderfully made. So what are they going to have to do? Well, they're going to have to do something to destroy that delivery system, aren't they? Go ahead.
Edward, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Messenger RNA faithfully carries the instructions issued by the unique DNA dwelling in the nucleus citadel. Psalm 139 verse 14 says, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are marvelous, and my soul knows it very well. My bones were not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully formed in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance, and in your book or scroll all the days of my life were written and engraved before ever they took shape, when as yet there were none of them. Now did you know that every single strand of human DNA is marked with the name of God? How, you ask? Because there are sulfide bonds holding together the two strands that make up the DNA. And these bonds occur after the 10th pair of nucleotides, again after the 5th pair, and then 6 pairs later, and again 5 pairs later. The 10th letter of the Hebrew alphabet is Yod. The 5th letter is He. The 6th letter is Vav. Yod, He, Vav, He spells Yahweh. I will say it again. God's name is on every human chromosome. You are made in His image and sealed with the name of your Creator. Every cell in your body is hallmarked. And it is this very divine hallmark that the enemy desires to obliterate. By injecting loaded messenger RNA into cells, one can sneak fragments of foreign enemy DNA through the carefully guarded nuclear walls and unload their contents into the scroll of DNA that God wrote for you. That's like pasting some pages of a counterfeit author's book into the middle of the instruction blueprint God wrote.
Stop it, stop it, stop it.
Actually,
that's like taking the Bible and getting in the middle of the Bible and putting the Communist Manifesto, gluing it right in the middle of the Bible. That's what they're doing by injecting this DNA, this RNA into us. Go ahead.
What's happening is that the name of God written into the sulfide bond arrangement in the DNA scroll is being erased. The beautiful scroll engraved by God to create a man in His image is being sabotaged. And from that moment of splicing onward, instead of instructions being released from the palace for life and health and security of the body, the inserted DNA loads up the messenger RNA trolley with instructions for the protein factory in the cell outside the palace to start manufacturing enemy spike proteins.
Wow.
The protein factory just does what it's told.
Freeze in a minute. Whatever. They start putting the bacon in, they don't put it in the refrigerator, they put it in the cabinet. They start taking the milk and they start putting it outside. The messenger RNA starts delivering the product to the wrong place. Go ahead.
Orders arrived from headquarters are immediately carried out. To put it simply, once the potion is injected into the body, every single citadel guarding the scroll signed with the name of the Creator within you is hijacked and forced to issue instructions to manufacture weapons of death, which will not only kill you at some point, but also the people around you. It is a cleverly engineered coup on a worldwide scale to throw off the rulership of God over His creation. So who is behind this dastardly plot? What does Psalm 2 say? In verse 2, the kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. The word for band means bond, halter, or restraint. Is it not the carefully placed bonds that depict Yahweh's name, which are disrupted and broken asunder by the vaccine contents? The word cord in Hebrew also means entwined, rope, or thick boughs. Is the DNA not entwined like a rope? Perhaps you can now see the plan of the kings of the earth, the elite, who are banding together and arraying themselves against the Lord. The plan is to hijack his creation, destroy his image, remove his signature, and transform the human body into a genetically modified, part human, part computer, which can be controlled externally. Sounds like science fiction, but tragically, it is the truth. Satan hates all who are made in God's image. Every earthen vessel that is intended to become a dwelling place of his spirit, receiving daily communication from the throne room of heaven. For centuries, he has been content to defile the bodies and souls of man by luring them into sin of every kind. But always, his greatest ambition has been to sit in the place intended only for God in the human body. 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 4 says, his intention is to sit as God in the temple of God, setting himself forth as if he is God. Many are waiting for the third temple to be built so that the Antichrist can go and sit in it. But the body of Christ is the third temple, a temple not built with hands. And the diabolical deception currently underway is the first step in the rollout of the plan to install the abomination that causes desolation right within the holy place of the third temple. In the holy place, the place where the unique engraved scroll of your Creator is stored in a walled citadel, the enemy has already lifted up his battle cry. How apt is the cry of the psalmist in Psalm 74? Verse 3 says, direct your feet quickly to the perpetual ruins and desolations. The foe has devastated and desecrated everything in the sanctuary. In the midst of your holy place, your enemies have roared with their battle cry. They have set up their own emblems for signs of victory. They seemed like men who lifted up axes upon a thicket of trees to make themselves a record. And then all the carved wood of the holy place they broke down with hatchets and hammers. They have set your sanctuary on fire. They have profaned the dwelling place of your name by casting it to the ground. O God, how long is your adversary to scoff and reproach? Is the enemy to blaspheme and revile your name forever? Why do you hold back your hand, even your right hand? Draw it out of your bosom and consume them and make an end of them.
So as you can see.
Wow, there you go. Obviously, Spencer put that in the chat. In fact, Spencer, have Jared post this online. Now, I don't even know where to go after that. What if the third temple is this one? And we're sitting around watching for a third temple to be built. And they're destroying the one that is now currently the dwelling of God, the dwelling of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, he who was with you shall be in you. We are the church. We are. He indwells in us. And the enemy is trying to break into the church. I don't even know who to start with. I don't even know. I'm going to start with Randy. Come on in, Randy.
Coach, I've been preaching this for many, many years, and you know, a lot of people don't want to hear it. It doesn't fit, but this lady hits it. This is awesome, Coach. I'm shouting you down right here where I'm sitting.
Yep. Go, folks. Listen, go home.
For a long time. It's a hard one to get out from under because of what you've been taught your whole life, Christians. But when you see it, you'll know it. You can't unsee it when you see it. But when you,
Andy, they are clearly invading the temple. Folks, can't you see that? The devil's invading the temple. He's invading the temple.
Amen.
Can't we see what's going on?
Amen.
One thing I also want to point out, and I'll be finished, is that here's the kicker. Here's what's awesome about God's kingdom. They're going to try to do this, but it says that it cannot mingle. There's the disclaimer, Coach. God says,
yep,
you can do all you want to this temple, and you can think you've changed
it, ain't gonna work.
But you can't change it. You can't
change
what I made. You can try, but it will not adhere to each other. It will, Coach, not.
Let me give you a homework assignment. Take that segment. It starts at about 30-minute mark. Get your Bible open. Go to where she says. Read along with her as she reads along with it, and just say, Lord, show me the truth. Show me here, Lord. Show me here. what's really going on. Joe Allen, come in. Thanks, Randy. Let's go quickly. Tell me your story, not a life story.
Coach, I got a tip for the back of your shirt, Salt Life Ministry shirt. Come out of her, my people, if you're living in this world.
Come out of her, my people, because they're trying to lure us into the world, right? They are invading the temple. Hey, listen, I don't care what your six-foot icicle has told you. I don't care. I don't care. Read and think for yourself, all right? Your six-foot icicle is telling you what somebody taught him. That's all that's going on here. And I'm sitting here in 2021, and I see him mixing iron and clay. Does anybody else see that going on besides me? Anybody at all see that? And does anybody else realize that the temple is, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit? Can anybody see that but me?
Amen.
Yes.
And we're sitting around waiting for a third temple to be built. They're destroying the temple. We're the temple.
Amen.
Oh, my goodness. Reggie. I'm going down the list. You can see who's next. Go ahead, Reggie.
Good morning, Coach. So like with Randy, we've been saying this for a while. It's been in the blood. It's in the blood of the kids. They've been using the children and experimenting for over hundreds of years. I know people go hundreds of years. They've perfected it. And they've been doing it with our medication. Everybody's just medication.
Pharmacology.
The food. All of our food is GMO. I mean, they've been breaking us down, and just these death shots are the kick. That's the nail in the coffin. But we're right. We have something to be glorifying God about, because they cannot break us down.
There's my temple of the Holy Spirit right here.
We have it. To preserve this.
The devil's after the temple. Rochelle, Myra, then Rochelle. Quickly, let's go.
Good morning, saints. In regard to operating in open heavens, we read in Proverbs 12:22, lion lips are an abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight.
Saints. Amen, Myra. Speak the truth. Amen. Rochelle, then Joe.
Hey, good morning, team. Coach, you started off talking about the gift of encouragement, and I just want to point out that Myra really does have the gift of encouragement. Thank you, Myra, for always being encouraging. And just real quick, I know you're in a hurry, so I'm only going to bring up one thing that came to my mind watching that video. The word mark and markers with your DNA and the mark. I don't know that term, how they always use that, the different DNA markers in your body and the mark of the beast. And, you know, I'm just saying it ties in. It ties in. And the news is very relevant if you read your Bible this way.
Boys, the separation of the sheep and the goats, isn't it? We got pastors telling people to take the jab. Come on in, Joe.
Thanks, Coach. The translation in of temple, the Greek word for temple that Paul wrote, it's actually been non-optimally translated. It's the same word they use for most holy place, because that's where God dwelt. And God dwelt there one day of year, the Day of Atonement. Now in us, the Holy Spirit is in us. So we are not only the temple, we are the most holy place in the temple. And the reason my hand was actually when you were talking about church not being what it should be, I remember when I was a little boy, my favorite song at church was Onward Christian Soldiers. But that song is, I think, probably banned from churches today.
Oh, yeah, I can't be doing that.
You felt like you were in a fight for something with that song, and you felt like you could do something instead of just have it be done to you. I mean,
amen, Joe. I'm in a fight. Look here. Here's Gary. Gary Dunlap, sir. Come on in here, Woody. Over here. Woody's here. They're getting their first look at my multi-million-dollar studio here, right? Come on in, Larry.
Yeah, praise the Lord. Gail went to the Mainmost Leukemia Guy in Medical University of South Carolina yesterday, and he was flabbergasted at how good a condition her blood numbers are. He said it's remarkable. He says her blood numbers are the best of a healthy person's blood numbers, and she is 10 days into an oral chemo regimen right now, which should have knocked her numbers down. And I told him, I says, doctor, I says, since everything is looking so good, how about instead of 2 weeks of chemo and 2 weeks off of chemo, how about give her 3 weeks off of chemo before she goes back on?
Amen.
Might be a good idea. And he said, well, let's do it this way. 1 week on, 3 weeks off. And then after all that praise report and everything, he tried to sit there and encourage us and explain to us why we needed to take the vaccine. He asked me, why don't you want it? I said, because of the mRNA factor. I says, there's something wrong about the way this thing is structured. There's something wrong about what they're doing with it. And I am not putting that thing into my body. And he just
Larry, he ought to be telling you that. I got to move on. We rejoice with you, Larry Rich. Come on in. And Dale.
Yeah, I want to tag on to what Randy was saying. You look at the Satan is always doing the counterfeit to what God does.
Sorry.
And you just exposed, you know, you're just explaining about how we're the temple is within us, and then you got all these hundreds of hirelings that are going to tell you about the temple that's going to be built in Israel.
We'll be dead for it's built. For that thing's built.
And I think there will be one built to further the deception.
Yeah, and all I believe so.
The temple's there, right there within us, right?
Amen. Oh, Rich, we're making people mad this morning. I'm just reading what the Bible says, and I'm making people mad. It's me. Come on in, Dale.
Brother, I'm going to sit here and read this. I know many of us heard in 2013 court case Pathology versus Myra Genetics Incorporated in the United States Supreme Court ruled that human DNA could not be patented because it was a product of nature. But at the end of the discussion, the Supreme Court ruled that if a human genome is modified by mRNA vaccines, which are currently in use, then the genomes can be patented. That means that everyone who has received the vaccine is now technically patented, and that something that is patented is proprietary will include the definition of transhumanism.
Oh, Dale, I got to move on. Stop doing that. The third temple's going to be built. That's what it's talking about. That temple in you, that's figurative. Come on in, Mel.
Hey, yeah. Good morning, everybody. I was going to say that we need to stop going to church and be the church.
Yeah.
But now I'm thinking it would be better to say we need to stop going to the temple and be the temple.
We are the temple. Amen, Mel. Joanne, come in.
Good morning. Yes, I have just some hope that's in that verse that it will not stick to all our brothers and sisters.
It will not. It will not, right? It's not going to.
Yeah.
You can't mix the two. Come on in, Mark.
All right. I wanted to just clarify transhumanism. Data, these cyborgs are transhuman. They're modified with clay. They're not human if the DNA is changed. We're no longer the human species if your DNA is unwritten. So you're not transhuman. You're a trans species. You're a different species.
Wow.
Got to stop looking at the vaccinated as human. They're not transhuman. If I took your arm off, replaced your arm, if I changed your gender, those are transhumans. They're still human. But I can't rewrite your DNA and call you human.
Wow, Mark. Mark. So in other words, Mark, I could not, this would never happen, but I could not have a sexual relationship with some primate other than a human being and have that be a human being.
The eggs are not human.
The eggs are not even
human. Be human. The Nephilim, before the times of Noah, were not human. The people in the land of Shinar had corrupted themselves. They were not human.
Amen, Mark.
God kills us because our eggs are bad. We can't make humans anymore.
Oh, my goodness.
Our DNA is not protected, which is our books. Once they go in your cells and unwrite your books, you no longer have the instructions for life that make you an image of God. Wherever you read that, Coach, the scrolls of our DNA are the books. And as you walk your life, your sin is written into your cells. Those are the books that are open, Coach.
I bet you never heard anything like this in your Southern Baptist church, did you, boys and girls? Huh? We're fearfully and wonderfully made. And what did we read in Psalm 2? Quickly, Spencer, give me back to Psalm 2. Give me back the Psalm 2, Spencer. I'm running out of time. But he that sitteth in the heavens is laughing. Lord's going to have them in derision. Then he shall speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet he said, I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. By the way, I thought Jesus was not the only begotten first son of God, but the first begotten son of God. Oh, study that one. We'll see you tomorrow.
Name.